I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome, welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall is a lecture series that takes place in a bar, usually in Toronto, sometimes in other cities. People speak on all kinds of topics, with the one restriction being that they cannot speak on subjects on which they are professionally expert. After each lecture, we take questions from the audience. This is the Trampoline Hall podcast. The way this works is we go through our deep archives, and in each episode, we hear one lecture. Some are old, some are new, but this season, they are all chosen by Emily Keeler, who chose all these lectures for you. And by the way, if you like the podcast and you're in Toronto, you should come see the live show. Go to the Trampoline Hall website, join our email list, and we'll let you know when those shows are. But for now, now is the time for the podcast. Let's get on with the latest episode. You may be asking if it contains mature language. It might. It might not. But it might. There could be mature language in here, so that's exciting. But now let me introduce you to this episode's lecture. The topic is hauntings, and the speaker is Celeste Yim.
I'm very impressed.
I'm so sorry.
Did you guys choose your Hogwarts? Did you get sorted into your Hogwarts houses yet? I am good grief. I know. I seem like an Oakley-Dokley, I know. But I'm good grief. Ugh. Can't choose where the hat puts ya. So nice to meet you all. And so nice to finally become my true self. Which brings me to my talk. So I really don't like horror movies. I pretended to for a long time by wearing a t-shirt that said The Shining so the white guys would be impressed with me as a chill, cool girl. My friend Monica taught me that sometimes men do this thing where they choose one thing about you so that, like, you know, a movie, taste, an opinion about a book, to project your entire personality so that they can reasonably get mad at you later when you don't end up being the chill, cool girl they made up inside of their head. So I make sure now to give a disclaimer to all men that I go on dates with that I don't like The Shining and also don't want to be in a toxic relationship. Just like, I contain multitudes in that way. Thank you, Monica. And yeah, I never came out of the closet because I was never really in the closet. I was more just like on the couch, hanging out. Not many obstacles for coming out of the closet. I also just don't, again, agree with this thing of taking one thing about a person and then assuming everything else. It also just seemed like this thing that was for boys who like other boys who wanted to have a sentimental conversation with their parents. And that, for some reason, that narrative just didn't fit with me. Don't know why. Just like sometimes how white people just like as an activity go sailing. Like that. It was just like it doesn't fit. But I knew that, yeah, like I am not like other girls. As you can tell. Not like those Kim girls. But not in a specific way. Like more than anything, I felt like things were kind of ambiguous and sometimes they were a little bit disappointing. But other than that, I just like now I'm pretty comfortable with this, you know, kind of perfect person that I've become. And so when I remember this like quiet hum of uncertainty that I used to feel, I feel really grateful. And so I'm going to tell you about the ways in which I've used theories of haunting to understand that my gender has, even before I was able to name it, always been non-binary, and that my sexuality was presenting itself to me, and that trying to impress men in general is just like an enormous waste of time. So I learned about the histories of haunting in a class taught by Dr. Sarah Trimble, who's a prof at U of T. Yes! A big shout out to Dr. Trimble. I took this class because they're one of my favorite profs. And so I was kind of disappointed when I got to this class, did not look it up that much. And we were talking a lot about like haunting narratives emerging in Western literature in the Gothic genre, which, to be frank, I do not care very much about. I was just like sick. And when I started university too, I was like a heterosexual comparative lit major. and so when bros at parties would be like, yeah, the Gothic, are you interested in that? I'd be like, me? Yeah, definitely, for sure. And so I'm in this class and I'm kind of like not that hopeful, right? And my prof, Dr. Trimble, says something that really perks my ears up. They say that haunting suggests that some kind of past that should be over and done with is still unraveling here in the present, and that we can use haunting as an opportunity to hope for a totally different kind of future. And I was like, wow, that is very beautiful. And so this is where I get duped once again. This has happened many times in my life by white culture. And haunting in Gothic literature becomes like one of my favorite things to talk to like my very patient friends about for the next 6 months. I'm like, let's do this. So the Gothic, it's one of the first times that the novel as a form really considers the past. Right, so we've moved past the modern novel, which is like very realistic, and medieval romance, which is very fanciful. And so it's one of the first times that we're seeing like a literature that is engaging with the reality that's being threatened by the past. So novels do this really hard pivot from like, and then we went to the hill, and now it is tea time, and I hope Heathcliff likes my t-shirt, like all this kind of, to like, did you just see our orphan half-brother's face in that pool of blood? So it's really, things change very fast. And so I'm in this class, I already think it's hilarious. My interest has peaked. And then I learned too that Eve Sedgwick, a queer literary theorist, she posits the Gothic as also one of the first times that literature ever really considers or entertains the idea of homosexuality in the written identity. Right, so Sedgwick says that men in the Gothic, they're grappling with this idea of gay relationships without being able to actualize them. So she uses this Gothic novel called The Country Wife as an example, which again, like I heard that title and I was like, I'm asleep. But in the book, it's kind of fascinating. There are all these like murderers and you don't know who's murdering who. It's like very spooky, blah, blah, blah. The protagonist, his name is George because like, obviously, and he has a brother named Robert, and they both become infatuated with what is described as a glamorous stranger named Gil Martin. Gil Martin is the gayest name I have ever heard. everyone knows gays love a hyphenation. So many times during the novel, like these brothers who are also, by the way, like courting women on the side, express like many different kinds of longings to be near Gil Martin. And then Gil Martin impersonates both of the brothers, so he assumes the identities of the brothers. And so you have three men in this weird, weird novel, and people are dying around them, and they just want to be like each other. They miss each other when they're not near each other. Two of them are brothers, and they just keep forgetting that they're brothers. It's very unsettling. I feel like, you know, in Call Me By Your Name, when that boy fingers that peach? That is more subtle than what is happening in A Country Wife. So there are these relationships, right, that have all these kinds of like unclear sexual boundaries. And so Sedgwick says that in the Gothic, identification is inextricable from desire. So think about that. Identification, so just like aligning yourself with someone you aspire to be, is inextricable. We can't have it without desire, wanting to be with that same someone. What Sedgwick is literally saying is that characters cannot distinguish between, do I want to be like you, or do I maybe want to fuck you? I love that. I love that the Gothic is like this time where literature is dealing with this past in like such a passive aggressive way. Like it doesn't talk about what's happening, and instead it's kind of just like threatened by these quiet tensions that are really caused by something else, right? Characters are just like, I don't know, I just like want to be like my sister and I love her, and also she's like crazy beautiful, right? Anyways, do you want to go to that fucking house on the hill or whatever? Part of this too is that I find so delightful is that there's just so much like hilariously thinly veiled incest in the Gothic. And that is like one of my favorite all time belly laugh topics, is when siblings are just a little too close. And then conversely, when you see a couple and it looks like just two versions of one person in a wig. It's just a side bonus for me. You know, so most people think of haunting, right, as this child that is wearing like either extremely dirty or extremely clean clothing that comes back to torment whomstever murdered them. But after learning about all this, I felt like weirdly implicated by haunting. I can't explain it. I knew I was haunted, but just not in these ways that we see. Haunting is one of these ideas that it was like I couldn't believe I had lived so long without knowing so much about it. And so it forced me to really think about, what does it mean to use the past to hope for a better future? And so I was like, when is a time I desired something and it actually meant something else? And I have a feeling that many of you have guessed what that thing is. This haircut did not just appear onto my head. I know I present as just a small Korean boy. And so, do I want to be like you, or do I want to maybe fuck you, describes every crush that I have ever had, I realized. And I know that because I made a spreadsheet of every crush that I have ever had. Because in a crazy turn of events, I am a chill, cool girl. So, you know, my crushes, I really felt like they were haunting me by pointing to aspects of my life that just, they weren't resolved yet. I would have these like frenzied crushes, and then afterwards I'd be like, why do I care about that guy? And so I logged all the crush data I could think of, right? So I did like name, crush time period, reasons I might desire with the crushes, desire the crushes, and reasons I might identify with the crushes. Are they white, yes or no? That's just for my own personal records. And so I realized I've long had these crushes on people who both present as masculine and as effeminate, or what I used to call was like, I'm very straight and I just like, I'm obsessed with a lot of the women I know and love. And that's my sexuality. And so in my spreadsheet, overwhelmingly, the men were like stacked with all the ways I wanted to identify with them. It was just like a list of skills I wanted. It was like, is on the basketball team, knows a lot about geography, is good at drawing, like stuff like that. And then the ways in which I desired them, they were just like very simple. They were like, smiles, clean, good hair, yeah. And then in the identification column for women, it was like, so this was one of the coolest people I have ever met, and I would love to just talk to her and look at her for hours and hours. And then the desirable qualities were also extensive for women. Women are beautiful and men are ugly, and that's a fact we all know. And so the scientific findings from this spreadsheet very clearly were like, I wanted to be so many men, wanted to be near a lot of women, and that I just automatically, indiscriminately respected anyone with good hair. And I guess it might not seem very scary to think of my haunted ghosts as like a bunch of dudes from my high school. Maybe for you, like a nice straight person, haunting doesn't come via such an unrest with like, do I wear pants? Do I like people who do or don't wear pants? Maybe you did murder like a child and that child is haunting you. I don't know you. But if you were in a movie and a child were haunting you, you would just kind of, you know, reckon with that haunting. You'd defeat this infant ghost and then it would be over and done with. But I think that dealing with haunting in real life tends to be less clear. I think more often than not, it isn't some kind of like mangled face in like a floating piece of cloth. It's more about responding to this feeling that there's some kind of vague force trying to teach you something about your life. And I think mine is, it was, and it is still trying to teach me about who to love and how. And so at the time, I couldn't name that my crushes were haunted. And obviously, I couldn't glean from them, too, that I'm like not a heterosexual, chill, comp lit major, chill, cool girl, whatever. But the practice of returning to those crushes in order to understand these ways in which I used to be haunted was like so liberating. The unrest that I felt was an indication that I just wasn't who I ultimately desired to be yet. And it was like putting on like an updated prescription for your glasses. It reframed like this blurry understanding of the past and it let me see a different kind of future with like so much clarity. Everyone is haunted by the sort of difference between what they once desired from the world and how the world ultimately turned out to be. And haunting isn't just about understanding the past. I think it's about being open in the present to this sort of opportunity to change. And I think the whole idea of coming out really refuses to accept that there's still progress to be made. And I don't wanna be stuck. And so I wanna be haunted, I think, so that I can always be moving towards who I am, even if it's greater or scarier than anything I really have the words to name now. I don't give a fuck about scary movies. And were a man with strong opinions about The Shining to haunt me now, I would absolutely haunt them back. Thanks, everyone.
Celeste Yim, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Are there any questions?
Okay.
Yeah, there is one. Yeah, right over there. Yeah, great.
So, hyphens are gay. What about other types of punctuation? What is their sexuality?
So, if hyphens are gay, what about the other punctuations?
Amazing question. Exclamation mark number one. Question mark coming in at a hot number two. That one comes first, and then you acquire an exclamation mark as you grow older.
Are you just ranking them now? Or are you like... Is this
what
like,
was the question? Which was the ones?
Question, was the question? What was the question?
I immediately
question
became competitive.
The question wasn't to rank them, was it?
No.
That's an optional activity, but there was a different question, right? About their specifically about their sexuality. If hyphens are gay, you would demand to know the sexuality of all the other characters in the ASCII character set.
Is there one you're curious about in particular?
Yeah, maybe that's a better place to start.
Semicolon? Bisexual.
Yeah, obviously.
Next question. You don't have the internet? Pretty easy one. Pretty low-hanging fruit
that's
there.
That's pretty much it. Okay. Well, there you go. You could just take it from
not
there.
Not at all related to my talk.
Any other easy questions? Anything else people would like to know? Yeah, yes.
So why don't you like
Why don't you like what?
Oh,
horror movies.
Amazing question. Hmm. I don't like the feeling of wanting to die for 90 straight minutes. I know that people like inducing that panicky feeling, but I feel it at the sight of many other things.
Right, so you're scared enough.
I actually don't need it, yeah.
You don't
it's
need to
more
pay
like,
extra.
Yeah, like, let's spread the wealth. I don't want to take up space in horror movie theaters. I did see A Quiet Place this week. And it took me like hours to calm down after. but maybe related, John Krasinski can absolutely get it. So
there you go. Does it answer your question?
Is that?
Yeah, sure it does.
Great.
Yeah, it does. Anything else? Anything else anyone would like to know? Yes, over there on the wall, yeah. What other horror movies did you pretend to like?
Every single The Ring never I mean, I watched 5 minutes and I was like, fuck no. Am I going to watch the end?
It's a really hard genre to pretend to like, because if it's one thing to sort of sit through, like if you're like, oh, I don't like nature documentaries, you can sort of sit through one and like be like, blah. But if you don't like
that's
being
true.
Terrified,
that is true.
That's a really shitty thing to have to put up with. So would you actually go to horror movies and be terrified and just be like, oh, it's fun? Or would you like?
Yeah, I am a big believer in when trying to lie to a man using Wikipedia.
Right.
And so I did that many times. I remember specifically I watched Prom Night at like in like a girl's basement, and it was like girls and boys sit on the couch and be scared together, and I hated it so much. And it's not a scary movie. You know what's going to happen at all times.
It does, but okay.
It might be like the musical Stings. Maybe that is what scares me. It's like there's something particular about the movies. I don't know. I scare easy.
Yeah, sure.
Bisha.
No, well, they make them to scare you on purpose.
Yeah.
So your answer, you want to know which ones, and the answers were Prom Night.
Yeah, I've seen Prom Night. The Ring.
And The Ring.
I never saw. What are other, like,
so the questions are, what are ones you pretended to see?
Yes. Even, like, those parody, Scary Movie? Is that what they're called?
Scary Movie, yeah. Where those
pretended to see those as well.
You pretend to see the parody?
Even the joking scares. Are scary, and I'll say
they're
that.
Scary, right? Okay, all right. Yeah. So it's the movies, the horror movies you saw, were in fact none, basically.
Yeah.
More or less.
Mm-hmm. It was more like if a man prompted me, a boy, who was like, "Do we have chemistry in grade 8?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, whatever you say."
I'd wonder about the age. Okay, so grade 8 is like the time that we're like.
Yeah. The spreadsheet is like, I would say it. It's very dense in like in middle high school years.
Right, it's a crush. That's a very
a
fast
crush
rate.
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
But there are some recent ones.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Any other questions? All the way in the back. Yes, back there. Yes.
Did you tell us all the categories on your spreadsheet?
And if we were to make your own, what would that? Right,
yeah.
So you ask because you want to make your own.
Yeah, I didn't know how detailed I should go into it because I was like, I don't have a visual aid.
Yeah.
But I will say that it was color coded, like in the gender presentation, because I was like specifically interested in that. I wonder if I missed anything. I don't think so. Oh, nature of our relationship. I put two.
So gender presentation, nature of relationship.
Yeah, name.
Name.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've made spreadsheets. We know there's usually a name column. Yeah, sure. Okay. So are those all the columns then? Did we get everything that's in the spreadsheet?
I'm pretty sure,
so
yeah.
So if you want to make your own.
I think I did have like a miscellaneous.
You had a miscellaneous.
That's okay. You need one. You always need notes. Like every spreadsheet in the world has a column for just notes.
Sure, sure. So you just have like miscellaneous.
Yeah,
what would be
an
example of like some miscellany that would go in there?
Oh, it would be like, well, I thought I had a crush at this time and then I saw her 2 weeks later and no.
Right.
So it'd be like sort of like a amendments to the facts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So there you go. Does that give you what you need to do your own spreadsheet? Okay, yes. Also in the back. Yes, over there, all the way in the back. Yes. If you could pick one man to haunt, who would it be?
Amazing question. And do I only get one, like, for the rest of my life? Or his life?
That's all right. Sorry?
Okay.
What's that? Is that yes or no? It's up to you. So you can do whatever you want with the haunting.
Thank
it's really,
you.
Yeah, it's a freestyle.
So, like, the flood of names that just came into my mind is worrying.
Right.
I think I would probably, I just feel that no man like deserves my haunt. And so to choose one would like be too generous. If he had deserved like a lifetime of haunting by me, which I think would be probably like pretty violent, I don't know that I would like to give him like the satisfaction of getting to hang with me the rest of his life. So I'm going to take a pass, but I will say the list of prospects is quite long.
So there's a very, very long list of inadequate prospects,
yes,
is what we have. So none of them.
Well, if they want to work on it and pitch themselves, they can find me after the show.
there you go. There you go, gentlemen. Yes, over there in the second row, yeah. What is your favorite gothic novel to
recommend?
Okay,
so as I said, know very little about the gothic in general. And the Country Wife is the only one I did extensively look into. But another possible like book that I thought about, or a movie story that I thought about talking about is Crimson Peak, which is not like actually gothic, but it's like a Del Toro movie that came out, I don't know, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I think you'll find that the themes I have spoken about are heavily included. And so watch Crimson Peak or Google Gothic Wikipedia.
There you go. Usually the answer is Google or Wikipedia, but here it's actually just we've got them.
I have all. Never once typed in wikipedia.org.
that's a good tip right there. Okay, yes, you ma'am, yes. What's the difference between this sort of haunting that we think of now in popular culture, which is like being haunted by a ghost?
But, and then how do the things that you took away from that class help us think about contemporary?
And so how does that different from and inform like contemporary? So this older version where you're haunted by someone but they're not a ghost.
Totally.
And how does that connect with like this contemporary understanding
right.
of being
so
haunted
think,
by a ghost?
Mm-hmm. So I think that Eve Sedgwick, the theorist that I talked about, so she talks a lot about how these sorts of tensions that are sort of social, right, are, like sort of find their way into stories, and that in and of itself is a haunting. And that's something that the Gothic, by presenting these very like concrete versions of haunting, like a ghost or like you know, somebody like your mother who has died, that allows for that kind of narrative to happen, right, where a narrative that's happening right now is being affected by some kind of external.
So there's something in the past that so that's the sort of popular idea of haunting we have now. When you talk about like the past affecting the present and the future, it's like, oh, there's this thing from the past that's supposed to be gone, but it's not gone,
right,
because it's not resolved or whatever,
right,
and it's still here, and that's sort of the ghostly haunting. But then there's a different kind of haunting that's happening in these books, right?
Right. And then so to understand like the idea of haunting in general is to sort of know that like forces of any kind, they don't have to be people, can find their ways into a present if they haven't been reconciled with. So right, in the way that like these, you'll see all these like very queer relationships occur in Gothic novels without there ever being a confirmation of that queerness, is sort of this suggestion that characters and authors are trying to talk about these things and they don't find it reasonable to yet in the Gothic.
So that's another thing that can haunt, is like this unexplored tension, mm-hmm, or this unexplored desire, or all of those kinds of things can haunt in the same way as like a child from the past or whatever, like
exactly,
something more concrete.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Does that start to get at your question? Did you feel that and these things become and then the idea is that they come back and haunt because they're not reckoned with? Is mm-hmm, that the idea?
Yeah.
Did you find that the spreadsheet, like did the spreadsheet, I keep thinking it's actually a spreadsheet. It's literally like
it
reckoning.
Exists.
It's a reckoning tool.
Yeah.
So did it undo that haunting for you in some way? Like were you haunted? I was thinking like, oh, like you're haunted
totally
by that little kid, by that eight, like was, does that, is that happening there in some way? Or
yeah, I think it did. I think also because it was such a, I linked it so much to like my identity, and now that I feel that I've realized sort of those parts of my identity that I feel were haunting the crushes at the time, I do feel like the spreadsheet sort of mapped out the ways in which that was reconciled. And so, yeah, I feel really grateful to like have all the different kinds of resources to have laid it all out for me. I'm a visual learner in that way.
Do you think that it, that doing that like did, what's the phrase? Like Eve Sedgwick says, you can't, that identity is inextricable from desire.
Mm-hmm.
Did it extricate it in some way? Did doing that extricate identity and desire? Like did it separate who you are from who you want in some way? Like just doing that, doing the spreadsheet?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's not like a perfect science, right? So, and actually it helped me understand that where, you know, the trends were that with males, I would like really identify with them and women, I would desire them. But yeah, it helped me also understand that these things are so random. And so to want to expect them at any time in any kind of form is sort of also this liberating thing to not have to think of people as people I will like and people I don't like. And that was an important lesson.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to know? Yes, over here. Yeah.
I'd like to know like how haunting has like informed like your comedy or like intuition.
How has haunting informed your intuition as a performer?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think that something I would have liked to talk about were I to have more time is like the haunting of spaces. And that was like my first sort of understanding of haunting, like immediately like learning about that, I was like, oh, every space is haunted by something that's happened in it before. And, you know, haunting becomes this really political idea where, you know, we are in this progressive Western world and we haunt all these lands that have been violently stolen. And so haunting in these sorts of like professional ways and these artistic ways has really made me so hyper aware of like the responsibility of understanding what has come before me and how I should act accordingly. Yeah.
Does that answer your question? Damn right it does. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Celeste Yim. Trampling Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hedy and is hosted by me. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Our coordinating producer is Kate Bars. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, why not leave a review or rating on iTunes? It really helps people find us. I'm Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.